Hello, and welcome to the Fat Boys in the Indian podcast, brought to you by Blake Haynes, Derek Imberton, Ryan Barker, and Tanner Crawford. We bring you somewhat factual, observational, and very delusional sports and world takes. We hope you enjoy the journey. Thank you.
Derek, what is going on?
Not much, man. How are you doing?
I am barricaded myself into my bedroom from all my kids.
Nice.
So, I'm just trying to, like, they're going to break down the door soon enough, I think, but we'll see. So, hey guys, finally here. Blake could not make it tonight, neither could Ryan, but we will also be recording tomorrow, so hopefully we can get one or two of them back up. So we'll go ahead and kick it off. Derek, what's been going on, dude?
Well, it's been a pretty busy couple weeks. May 25th, my band Deep End Lifestyle had a show down in Kansas City, Missouri at the Uptown Arts Bar. If you've never been to Uptown Kansas City area, I highly recommend going to check it out. Pretty cool little strip. That went pretty well, and then other than the band thing, this past weekend, played some softball and realized that I'm getting old and I'm not as agile as I once was.
Yeah, it's going fast. I kind of realized that this weekend. We went to Lake Perry. My parents bought a boat, and I hadn't been on the lake in probably, 12, 13 years. Or, like, let alone been in water where your feet can't touch.
Mm-hmm.
And so, My 1-year-old, he kept wanting to go out there. And so, like, we were probably out on water for probably 5 or 6 hours, like, swimming, like, legit swimming, can't touch. And so I was, like, my son kept getting in and out, like, every 20 minutes. And I got home last night, and, like, my legs and my arms were so fucking sore. Like, I don't think I can ever make fun of swimming because I realize, like, it, like, from head to toe, it is fucking exhausting.
It's a workout, man. It is a workout.
Especially when you're like 250 pounds and you're all the water wants to do is have you sink to the fucking bottom. And so yep. I'm flopping around and trying not to let my kids drown. And then today I went and walked 18 holes and I thought I was going to die.
That's something else that people don't realize how tough it is until you actually do it. Like before I even started playing golf, I was kind of like, okay, walking 18 holes or even 9 holes, that's not bad. But it is. Like you carry your clubs around, it is a workout.
Yeah, and then
it is a workout.
It didn't help that I have like I'm sunburnt as fuck. So like the bag straps kept rubbing against my shoulders. It was pretty exhausting. And then I had to play against one of my coworkers as a pastor, and I realized that if I want to be really good at golf, I think I need to become a pastor because this dude, I've played with him 27 holes. He's chipped in twice. And then today, from 200 yards out, in the middle of the fucking West Virginia woods, he holed out for eagle.
How?
I don't fucking know. Like, I'm in the middle of the fairway, and I'm like, you know, I don't have very many fairways, so I'm feeling pretty good. He's in the woods, and he hits it. I hear it click a tree, and I'm like, look, you know how like you try to use like your whole fucking vision to see like where the ball's going to land?
Right.
I see it hit right of the pin, and it kicks left, and it goes in. And then, like, because it's really hard playing with him because I'm trying not to, like, you know, because I say a lot of cuss words, and I say a lot of goddamn it and stuff. And him, like, I'm trying to be so, like, calm and, like, you know, on a teacher level like I used to be. And he fucking sinks it, and I'm like, holy shit! And he just starts fucking laughing his ass off because, like, I think you can kind of tell, like, I've just been having it bottled in, like, all round, like, trying not to say any bad words. And then when someone holds out from 200 yards in the trees, I mean, all you can say, I mean, I could have said, you know, anything, but of course I had to add the holy into it.
Yeah.
Holy shit! But, I mean, that's about all that's been going on with me. We can go ahead and, you want to go ahead and kick it into the touch on the NBA Finals a little bit?
Yeah, I have to be honest, though. from the get-go, I think I said I wasn't going to watch the finals, and I haven't watched a single minute. I have just been looking at the recaps and highlights and stuff.
Yeah, but that's last what night I've been doing. I saw
Steph Curry was, I believe, 9 of 17 from the three-point line, and he set an NBA record for a finals game for most threes in a game with 9, and it doesn't really surprise me when you got he's obviously the greatest shooter of all time. I mean, right now he doesn't have the most three-pointers made in his career. Ray Allen does, but he is hands down the greatest shooter I've ever watched in my entire life. Some of the shots he puts up and makes, it's incredible.
Yeah, there was a couple at the shot clock buzzer that he drained that were just like wasn't even perfect form, not shit, but he just like has touch. Like amazing touch.
And then his teammate, Klay Thompson, too, who I think when it's all said and done, he'll be like, he should be top 5 all-time three-pointers made. But, you know, it's just, they're a fun team to watch, man. They've got so many good shooters and a lot of good players. They play well together.
And I think I was kind of excited because I do the same thing, like, because I'm not a big NBA guy, but I check ESPN every morning just to see, like, the Stanley Cup and NBA Finals, see what's happening. And I noticed, like, well, first I saw that they said the title was Steph Curry breaks NBA Finals record or whatnot. I was thinking he drained, like, 12 or 13 threes or something. I didn't think 9 three-pointers was that far-fetched when you think about how much, like, you have the James Hardens and all those guys that shoot 40 times a game. Like, I was actually kind of, like, I thought that record was kind of small, personally.
Yeah, especially, like, you were just saying how you got guys like James Harden that shoot the ball a lot. And it's not just the volume of shots they put up, it's what type of shots they're taking. I mean, I don't know exact numbers, but I think there's been some studies about, like, the three-point shot now is it's better just to be taking that if you have the shooters to take those shots compared to, you know, the old school, like, throw it down to Shaq on the block and get 2 points. You know, with the way bigs have evolved, too, like, you have power forwards like, you know, Dirk Nowitzki and guys like that, I mean... The three-point shot has completely changed the game.
And it's almost unheard of to have a center who can't shoot a three anymore. Kind of like how Doak, where it's like, why the hell are you going to the NBA? Because you have no range outside the paint. So what the hell are
it's
you
awful.
Gonna do?
I don't even know. I don't think he can make it in the league. I mean, he just doesn't have enough.
Yeah, he's not.
3 feet and in.
The centers have to be able to pop threes, shoot free throws, do everything, and drive. He's old school for sure, which begs the question, Derek. Cole. So, would Wilt Chamberlain have banged 20,000 women in today's era with a 3-point line?
Okay, my first question, is he wearing a headband? And the second one, does he still have an afro?
Yes and yes.
I still think that he might not have had the 3-point shot developed yet, but I still think 20,000 is not out of the reach. When you're a pro basketball player, I feel like things come a lot easier to you in general, you know? So I still think Wilt the Stilt would have got 20,000 for sure.
What do you think Wilt the Stilt stands for?
Well, I don't want to go in too in-depth into it, but I don't think it's about his height. We'll just leave it at that.
I don't know. I think in today's era, I think it could have been done, especially with Tinder and whatnot. But
oh, for sure.
Back,
could you imagine if Wilt Chamberlain had Tinder back in his day?
Swipe right. I'm going to bang 4 of these chicks tonight.
Easily.
Or I'm going to ruin 5 of these girls' nights. I'll never
Is there
forget.
A chance that we're related to Wilt Chamberlain, like, if you think about it?
I mean, in a bad
he
way.
Did
like
go, he did go to KU.
Yeah, but he could be, like, in a bad way, like Andy Bernard, where he found out he was related to Michelle Obama through a bad, bad era.
Ooh,
but
yeah.
This makes me think of back in Ottawa, there was a soccer – I think if I remember the story right, I heard from Trey. A chick that played soccer at Ottawa went to a party in Lawrence, and I guess girls just used to, like, line up at Wayne Selden's door. And she was one of the girls that got pegged that night, and I guess she didn't go to soccer practice for, like, a week because she couldn't walk.
What? A week?
Yeah, a week. I guess she
That's insane.
She got injured from Wayne Selden and his giant whatever.
Why would you want to do that to yourself? At that point, is it even enjoyable?
I mean, if you're a woman and there's a line, you have to go see what's inside that door. I mean,
okay,
you got to think that, well, yeah, I mean, imagine how the guys on the team felt that don't play any, like the walk-ons, they're probably like, man, I wish I had that life. If I could just get one of these 20 girls tonight, it would be amazing.
Instead of like slaying all 20 in one night, like Seldon.
Yeah. I don't know how he stays hydrated.
It's just like, it goes back to like, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, like how easy it would be just being a pro athlete, let alone you could even just be a stud college athlete and not even just girls, but like anything in general just comes a lot easier.
Too. Guys yeah. too.
Well, not even talking about their sex life, just in general, like if there's something they want, they're going to be able to get it. I mean,
oh my God,
you got boosters and whatever, you know, people are going to find ways to hook people up.
Imagine if Wilt still was bi. He could have had 20,000 women and 20,000 dudes, possibly.
Who's to say he wasn't bi?
Who's to say that some of those 20,000 weren't a couple of men that slipped in? Like Creed Bratton
says.
You don't
know. He could have, you know, him and Creed might have had, like, something. They were, like, they played against each other. Him and Bill Russell, you know, like, who knows?
Yeah, Bill Russell's a real weird dude.
Yeah, I don't think he got near 20,000, or let alone, like, have you looked at Bill Russell? He's just like a... He looked old when he was young. Like he's one of those dudes that just looked like he was 50 when he was like 23.
Dude, talking about old basketball, everyone's been talking the whole LeBron. I almost said LJ. The whole LeBron. I guess he could be called LJ, LeBron James. But yeah. The whole LeBron and Michael thing. I don't think it should be more about that. I don't think there has been a series greater than all of the Jazz Bulls final games.
Yeah, when you look at those series, like Jordan's six championships or whatever, and then like you look at like LeBron's series he's been in, I saw an interesting statistic. I think it was five of the finals that LeBron's played in, his teams have been underdogs or something, and all six of the ones Jordan played in, he was favorited. So I'm not putting any, like, I'm not, no negativity towards, like, what Michael Jordan did.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of it, LeBron kind of does it to himself. Like, he catches a lot of crap about surrounding himself with certain players. But look what that landed him now. Like, he pushed away Kyrie Irving. And now he's stuck with, like, Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. And
yeah, and then didn't you say he was the one that got Tristan Thompson that contract?
Yeah, I think it – I don't know exactly. I think it was like a four-year, $68 million contract, which is insane. I don't think right now – I think right now Tristan Thompson might make more a year than Steph Curry because Steph Curry still is in his contract from previously. So I think there's a chance right now Tristan Thompson's making more than Steph Curry, which is insane.
Yeah, it's – I went back and watched some YouTube videos of – it was the other night of the Jazz Bulls final series.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it brought back like memories from my childhood where I would just be glued to the TV watching that. Cause of course, like every kid, you're a big LeBron guy, but like flashing back, like I did not realize just how fucking good the Jazz were. Like Karl Malone was a fucking monster.
And Byron Russell. Who was, and then yeah,
Jeff Hornacek, John Stockton.
Oh yeah. Hornacek, like, one of the greatest shooters. Oh, and man.
John Stockton, it kind of brought me back to, like, we also got to watch Steve Nash play.
And oh, where yes.
It's just creating so much off the dribble and driving. And I feel like now there's just not really passers like that. Now, of course, I mean, so many the players now can also shoot way better. But it was just crazy, like, how, like, John Stockton is this skinny little 150-pound dude. And he's driving in there against, you know, the Jordans, Dennis Rodman, all those guys, and just trying to make something happen. And it's just like, holy shit, this dude has some fucking balls.
Well, you take guys like that for granted, too. Like, that's like a normal, like, you would pass a guy on the street that's 6 foot, whatever, 150 pounds. And you could never imagine, like, him going against, like, a LeBron or Michael Jordan.
Yeah, not like, today, yeah.
No, it's like, but those guys like him and Steve Nash got it done. I still remember, like, 12 years ago, when the Phoenix Suns had like Sean Marion, Amari Stoudemire, and Steve Nash. Nash was so fun to watch on the pick and roll. It was just crazy. The passes he could make and stuff, it was just insane. And for him to be he was a below average athlete, in my opinion. I mean, he wasn't ever like going to dunk it or anything, but he was just, he was just so deceptively quick and smart.
Yeah, he was probably the last kind of era that I actually watched a lot of NBA. That's kind of like when I kind of stopped watching.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people now are like big fans of the NBA, and I'm kind of starting to understand why.
Well, it's like, I don't know. I don't know if they're trying to appeal more to kids or whatnot, but I know, like, when I was a kid, like, I would be watching, you know, especially the playoffs, like, with the whole, because the Bulls, like, it was like every year it was the same thing, you know? The Bulls have to get through Reggie Miller first.
Right.
And then they have to get through the Jazz. And I remember having, like, a portable basketball hoop, and I would have it right outside the living room window. And I would, during commercial break, I'd run out there and pretend I was fucking Michael Jordan and, you know, drilling the game-winning shot a million times. And then I'd run back to the TV, watch it till commercial break. And now, you know, I'll occasionally flip on a game or something, but it's just I don't have the attention span anymore to really watch the NBA.
Do you remember WGN? I think that was the channel that the Bulls games were on.
Yeah, they always had the Cubs game. Yeah, they always had Chicago games on.
Yeah, so I remember, like, being, what, six, 7 years old. And, like, that's what I remember is, like, sitting in my living room with my dad and my brother, and they would be glued to the TV because the Bulls were playing. And at that age, I didn't understand anything. I just – Michael Jordan was, like, a god, like, so you had yeah. to watch, you know?
Yeah, I feel like if more people would go back and watch those series, you would just appreciate, like, Jordan's jumper was just so fucking wet. Like, I forgot, like – you know, I used to watch it all the time, and I just don't remember these things. And you go back, and you're like, I mean, shit, I don't remember shit that happened in, you know, football, Chiefs football. I can't remember half the games last year, even though I watched all of them.
Right.
And I went back and watched Jordan play, and I'm like, dude, his jump shot was just so fucking nasty off the dribble. And it's just things like that I think people forget because LeBron is in the now. And, of course, I mean, yeah, he's playing against more athletic people, but I don't know.
The elevation on Jordan's jump shot, I saw a picture yesterday. I think it was, I don't know, I could be wrong. I don't know the year. I think it was 84 Olympics is when the last time we had an entire college team that went over there and won the gold. But it had a picture of him elevating for a jump shot, and I swear his feet were 3 foot off the ground on just a jump shot. Like, he was like 36 inches off the floor while he was shooting the ball, and I just... That's incredible to, you know, just a normal jump shot to elevate that high just to shoot a basketball. Like,
and the thing I noticed too is he wasn't as big as I remembered either. Like, from an arms standpoint, like, of course he was tall, but now flashing forward, it's like, you know, MJ really wasn't like a big weight room guy. Like, he wasn't like he was jacked or anything.
What do you think? He was probably like 215 or something, maybe?
Yeah.
6'6", 2". Yeah, that's true. He was pretty slim.
But. All right. Well, we'll save some of the more NBA talk for when Blake gets here. Because, you know, as everyone knows, he's got his four favorite teams are in four different zip codes. So
yes.
He basically likes, what is it, UConn basketball, Texas football, Seattle baseball, and then who's his football team?
Minnesota Vikings is his football team.
What the fuck? What?
Yeah.
So he's literally got he's got north, east, south, and west.
I think I can explain, like, all these, though. We'll break it down. This is a segment we weren't going to do, but we're going to explain Blake's. Okay, this is why
explain Blake. Explain it to Tanner.
Okay, so... when Blake comes on tomorrow, we record that other episode. He can see if I was correct. But let's start with UConn. I think Ray Allen and, like, Richard Hamilton and all those teams, like Ben Gordon, Emeka Okafor, early 2000s, late 90s is what kind of got Blake hooked on them. Seattle Mariners, pretty easy because Ken Griffey Jr. We talked about that. He's, you know, obviously – in Blake's opinion, the greatest baseball player of all time. So that's why he was a fan of them. The Vikings, I'm pretty sure you got Randy Moss and Dante Culpepper, Chris Carter. who was the quarterback before Culpepper? He used to play for the Eagles.
Oh man.
I know who it is, but I think those are the three big reasons for him being a Vikings fan. And then being a Texas Longhorn fan, it's like, just pick a football player, like, when they were good, like Ricky Williams or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my guess why he's a big Texas fan.
Dude, he ever actually, Ricky Williams is, like, huge into, like, astrology and shit.
Yeah, I think Ricky Williams is pretty much a hippie. It's kind of cool. Like, he's just, like...
And imagine what he could have done. It kind of flashes back to the whole Wilt thing, like... Imagine what Ricky could have done if, I mean, of course, they still can't smoke pot, but there's better ways of getting away around it than now.
And, right.
I mean, of course, I mean, in any time now, it's all going to be fucking legal. And it's just like, right. Imagine how many records he could have broke if he would have, you he know, was shattered.
God, he was so fun to watch play football, man.
He was fucking good. He was
so good. And there's a lot of years that were taken away that he didn't get to play, which stinks.
Yeah, because didn't he, like, run off to Jamaica or some shit?
Yeah, he just kind of, like, disappeared. Like
He did the whole Dave Chappelle. He was the first Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, they're in the same category for sure. Like, we all loved them, and then they just kind of left. And it was just like, man, football, at that time, it was like, man, where's Ricky? Like, you know?
I think it kind of begs the question, though, how, I mean, I know it bothers me when people have, like, different teams from different areas. Because, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess Blake is still, like... Because this, you know, Seattle's gone through sucking. Texas football has gone through sucking. UConn basketball has now gone through sucking. Minnesota is coming back, but it's. I mean, I guess I appreciate that he still likes him and hasn't changed teams. But yeah. it's still, like from a childhood standpoint, it's like, fuck you, dude. Like you don't get to just
yeah, pick I know, right?
All these superstars, and then I have to sit here and watch 8 years of KU football struggle to compete against Division II teams. But
yeah, you know, the funny thing is when we were younger, like when we were in like grade school up to high school, KU football was actually, you know, pretty fun to watch, like nothing mm-hmm. great. And I guess I think I took it for granted because I didn't think it would be at the level it is now where, I mean, the past what just been one win, two win seasons.
But I have to admit to something, Derek.
What's that?
I kind of, like, I know, like, it's a joke and stuff, but I somewhat kind of enjoy this whole, this crazy environment where there's about to be a firing, and mm-hmm. I kind of enjoy the coaching carousel. I don't know why, but for some reason, I get, like, super entertained by the idea of the whole, who could we hire? Who's the actual, you know, who do we have a shot at and who's like the long shot?
Right. Because the possibilities just make it like, so they're endless. It's just like, oh my God, we could hire someone that could turn this program around in 2 years, or we could hire someone that continues this downward trend that we're in, you know, with gosh, Turner Gill, Charlie Weiss, and now David Beatty, who, I mean, this is really, it's not really David Beatty's fault. It's, you know, obviously we got rid of the problem. I can't even say his first name. Is it Shannon or Shahan?
Shahan, I believe.
Shahan Sanger. Well, we got rid of that problem, but he, like, that's just like hiring someone that's, like, not even qualified for a job. They're just like, okay, we'll let you have it. You know, like.
Do you believe he was a mole?
Who?
Do you think, because, I mean, Zinger is a KSU alum. Do you think he was here, like, kind of sent, like a Russian mole to come and, like, just destroy us and ruin us forever?
I mean, if you dig a little bit deeper into it, that makes sense, you know. That seems like something that Bill Snyder would probably Bill Snyder has some kind of connection with that, I'm sure.
Well, it's like everyone that's played for Bill for the most part, like
except Mangino. Well, look at Mangino; he was underneath Snyder too, and look what he did for us. He was awesome.
Yeah, that's true. I guess so, I feel like a lot of people come back to Snyder like they can't cross him. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, right. They love the guy so much. I mean, except for, like, the exception of Bryce Brown, who I fucking still love.
Oh, I remember sitting in my high school computer class pulling up, like, Rivals.com and watching Bryce Brown highlights. And I was just like, this guy is the real deal. And he's out of Kansas. It's like, oh, my God. You know?
It's funny. All, like, every single time. Wichita always has a lot of really good fucking prospects. And none of them ever go to Kansas schools.
Oh, my gosh. It's so disappointing. Like, I guess it's just, like, there's so many athletes down in Wichita. It's just trying to, like, filter out which ones you can actually, make a Division I athlete, and then the other ones, like, are they going to be like JUCO, NAIA, Division II guys, or, you know, I don't know. But you are right. There's a lot of those really good athletes that are out of Wichita, and it just seems like, at least KU doesn't land them, but K-State seems to do a pretty good job of pulling in those guys.
Oh, and developing them too. And I think that's where Beatty went wrong. Well, actually, a lot of these guys, like Turner, had some really good fucking recruits. Charlie got some really good recruits, and Beatty's gotten some good recruits. But all three of them do not know how to develop talent.
And that's just that makes your entire coaching staff just look poor. Like, KU, as bad as they are, we never have the worst recruiting class since even Turner Gill's been here. I'm pretty sure – I could have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure we're not, like, the bottom 10 as far as recruiting classes. But we get these guys in here, and like you were just saying, it's like we have these coaches that just don't know how to, like, develop these kids out of high school. And by the time they're juniors and seniors, be productive members of the team.
So going back to Zinger, where do you think it went wrong?
Where do I think it went wrong within Zinger's tenure?
Yeah, where do you think it first went wrong? Like, what started this path to shittiness in KU football?
All right, let's think. Okay, so I think the timeline, I think he was hired in, like, February of 2011, right?
And he let Turner Gill play a season, I believe?
Yeah, he
gave him a chance.
I think so. Which, you know, looking back, it might not have been a bad idea to keep him around a little bit longer, because we see how bad it got after that.
Well, yeah, because Beatty has gotten a longer chance than he gave Gill and Weiss, and they won more games.
Right. I was on this, though. Like, when we hired Charlie Weiss, I was so excited, but I think that's when the turning point was, when it got really bad, like... Because after that hire, it's done so much damage up until now, you know.
I remember Robbie calling me, because me and Robbie, like, everything KU, everything that happened, every 5 seconds something happened, we had to text each other about it. And then that's all, like, me and Robbie talked about. Like, we never talked about girls. We never talked about anything except for KU sports. And he called me, and we were, like, in tears that we had hired Charlie Weiss, like, out of excitement. And then when Charlie Weiss actually happened, I got super depressed.
I mean, it's hard not to get depressed. That first season, I went to the season opener, and we were watching them play, I think it was South Dakota State, and the first play was like a fake jet sweep reverse, and Dane Chris threw like a 40-yard pass to Kale Pick, and I was like, this is the change. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. And we barely won that game. And then the rest of the season was just awful. Like,
well, it's funny because, like, Charlie Weiss, I mean, he didn't even have – he was, like, ranked 97th in offense when he was a coordinator at Florida for that 1 year when we hired him from. Because he was terrible at Notre Dame. And then he got – you know, he had that 1 year of offense at Florida – and we gave him a head coaching chance to bring in an offense, because that's what Turner Gill couldn't do. And it just blows my mind, because Charlie Weiss was so good. Like, people say it was only because of Brady he was good in the NFL. But what he did with Matt Cassel, I mean, put him to like a 27-6 touchdown interception ratio. Like, that's why I was kind of excited. I'm like, if he made Matt Cassel, the world's biggest piece of shit, into a good quarterback, surely he can make KU football decent.
Maybe. He made a mistake by going to the college level. He should have just been an offensive coordinator in the pros and just rode that out.
Yeah, because there is – I mean, it's – I don't even know, what do like
– What do you do with Matt Cassel? The more I think about it, like, it's insane.
Like, because everywhere Matt Cassel's been and done, he's been terrible.
Because we know how bad Matt Cassel is as a quarterback, but – that year with Charlie Weiss, it was just like...
And Dwayne Bowe was his only receiver. And Dwayne Bowe is terrible.
Speaking of Dwayne Bowe, last time I saw, he was with the Browns, but I don't think...
He didn't make it out. I think he got cut pretty early, I believe. Because
oh my goodness.
Going to Madden stats, Dwayne Bowe has like a 70-something acceleration and separation. He was kind of like a worse Dez Bryant in a way. Like,
yeah,
he was amazing at catching the ball up in the air and whatnot. You know, he had a shitload of touchdowns, but the dude, I mean, if he didn't have a really good quarterback, nobody could get him the ball.
Right, because he couldn't separate from a defensive back.
No. I don't think he could separate from a linebacker. He was pretty slow.
I'd like to see him now. I bet he's just let himself go. He's probably at a Taco Bell right now, ordering a couple chalupas and a bean burrito.
So as a KU fan, do you think that we should take part of the blame for this, part of the KU football culture right now and success?
I think, as we're talking about KU football or KU football fans as a whole, I think we should. I was just reading this article yesterday on Twitter. I don't remember this person's Twitter handle, but they were a KU grad, and they said, you can't expect to have a turnaround and not be there and support this thing. You know, like, just because we fired Singer doesn't mean this thing's going to magically turn around. It's going to take people coming out on Saturday afternoons and going to the games and showing support for their team. Like, you know, like, yeah, it's not easy to do right now, but if you're a true fan of KU, you're going to find a way to go to a couple games this season and, you know, seasons to follow that too.
Mm-hmm. See that pastor guy I play golf with? He has season football tickets and basketball tickets, and he goes to every fucking game. And it's just like, dude, like, I mean, I'll sit and watch every game, but to actually like take my family and go basically dedicate an entire day to go watch KU lose by 70 points is just, I just can't do it. Like, I love them, but like to spend my own fucking hard earned money to go watch what they, I mean, they can't even complete a fucking screen pass right now. And it's, I don't know. I just don't know how to fix it, because we've had two guys now that have brought in kind of a more pro style offense, and it doesn't work in the Big 12. And then we've brought in a guy now who's changed the, I mean, we're supposed to have an air raid for 3 years in a row now, and we still don't have it.
What did you like to call David Beatty's offense, Tanner?
Oh, the error raid.
Yes.
And then that I think it was that one, or the whole telling him to stop playing Bishop Mie shit at quarterback.
Oh.
Because it was a quarterback battle between Montel Cozart and fucking Ryan Willis. And Ryan Willis, like, I don't care what anyone says, Ryan Willis is fucking terrible.
His pocket presence is one of the worst I've ever seen at a college
It's not as bad. It's not as bad as Peyton Bender's is.
No, but, yeah, well, that's another discussion to go into.
But, I just, like, Montel Cozart is, he's basically just a wide receiver. And I felt like, I mean, he has a good arm, like, strength-wise, but he can't make hardly any throws. But I felt like we never, ever really utilized him as a runner. And
no.
When we did, he never actually kept it. He always handed it off like he was a fucking afraid to get hit. And I don't know why we were trying to run an offense we didn't have people for.
Well, that goes back to, like you were saying, the whole coaching staff. Like, I saw him a few games this year at Boise State, and I was just like, he would take off running, and I was like, why didn't we let him do that at KU?
Yeah, because like, he probably runs a 4.4.
There was a couple games. I remember a couple years in a row, we played TCU down to the fourth quarter, like, down to the wire. And, like, we could have won those games if we had a quarterback do things like that, you know? Like, it's just – it's kind of frustrating.
And to all those fans, if we have fans that call me out for not being a real football fan or a KU football fan, I just want them to know that for 2 years now, I have drove around in my Blazer with 4 KU football magnets on my hood. I've repped those for 2 years now, and I went and stood in the freezing rain to watch Samaje Perine break the rushing record against KU, and I went and watched us lose to Oklahoma State last year by like 70,000 points. So,
yep. I feel like if the people that listen to this podcast, they'll eventually realize how big of fans that we both are. I know I try to go to the season opener every year, and I do that, but then I lie to myself and say I'm going to go to another game, and I don't go because I watch every Saturday, and I
– Well, you don't like to get – you don't like to take a fucking sharp-ass knife to the heart and just bleed out for a day?
I mean, I just like to text you about it and be like, are you watching this? Why are we watching this? Like, cause
or we get a first down on 3rd and inches, and we're like, oh my god, we're gonna win like 2 games this year, or 3 games. We might win 3 games, and then it doesn't happen.
So what's it gonna take to slowly get this program going back into a direction where we could be competitive, 4 or 5 wins, say by 2020 or so? You know, I mean, because it's gonna be a process, but like,
I think first, I liked where Zenger was thinking. Like, Beatty is a super passionate guy.
Right.
But Beatty has been an offensive coordinator in 2 places in his entire career. He has never been higher than an offensive coordinator. And his one time with Rice, he was ranked like 84th, I believe. It was in the 80s. So that is, I mean, especially being in the conference like that Rice is in and you can't get a top 50 offense. Yes. And then his other time was with Turner Gill at KU. And they were like in the 90s. And so it's kind of like Charlie Weiss. It was Charlie Weiss again, where you hire a guy that's a great communicator, you know, like, you know, he probably knows a lot about football, but he clearly doesn't know anything about offense. And that's what the Big 12 is. It's an offensive driven league where if you can score 70 points, you might be able to win a game, but you might not be able to win a game if you can only score 20, which K-State only is managed to do that because they run the fuck out of the ball. And they're super, super, you know, disciplined.
That just is, you know, going back to Bill Snyder, like, there's like a 13 steps to success or something. I don't know what it is. But it seems like they always have these guys that just, you know, he's got a plan set in place, and you're either going to follow his plan or you're not going to play. And you see all these kids from Kansas, like, you'll see like 3 or 4 of the 5 starters on the offensive line be from Kansas.
Yep, you'll see, and they just guys put in on their time.
Yeah, they just, it's the weight room. Like, there's a guy I know personally from Horton, Kansas, Trey Deshaun, like, you know, committed to Northwest Missouri State out of high school, and then K-State swooped in and offered him a scholarship, and he's been a 3-year starter. He'll be a redshirt junior this year, a 3-year starter. I mean, you get kids like that in there, and then meanwhile, your rival, KU, they pass up opportunities to, you know, offer these kids scholarships. Instead, we just, you know, we go the Texas route and get guys that are just aren't worth a crap.
Yeah, like, I know this guy, Nick Walsh, he played at Linden. He did the same thing. Like, he actually was a huge KU fan. He loved KU, and Turner Gill wouldn't even take a sniff at him. And so he goes to K-State, and I believe he walked on, or a gray shirt or whatever it's called, and then he ended up becoming their starting punter, and I believe he was, like, Big 12 Punter of the Year last year.
Wow.
So, and it's just like, that guy wanted to play for KU, and instead we're giving scholarships to guys that shank every fucking punt. And it's like,
terrible. Cole Mims, I think, was the punter last year for KU, and he was awful.
I feel like it's going to take a lot, but I mean, David Beatty has had 3 coordinators in 3 years. He fired the one, he promoted himself the second year, and then like last year, I thought we hired a pretty good one from TCU. I thought that was a fucking great move, but I feel like that Beatty's like micromanaging him and not letting him really be what he wants to be.
Well, if you're David Beatty, you gotta let what's his last name? Is it Meacham?
Yeah, Doug.
Yeah, Doug Meacham. He came from a program that's obviously, you know, he was an offensive coordinator when Trevon Boykin was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw what kind of numbers that offense put up. Why would you want to micromanage a guy that is capable of, you know, developing a successful offense?
Well, and he's done it with 2 types.
Right.
Because they also – I mean, I don't know if he – I believe he was there when they had Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
I think you were right.
But it's just like – but they've – I mean, but yeah, he's been able to adapt to a guy who's just a pocket passer and, of course, you know, unleashing a guy that's just a dual-threat quarterback. And we – surely a guy that's been like in TCU with the players that they've had, you cannot tell me that he thinks that Peyton Bender is capable of starting in the Big 12.
No,
there's no way. I think that is all fucking Beatty. And I think that's why he fucking needs to be gone.
Oh yeah, it is. Oh well, you saw Peyton Bender was at Washington State and he got beat out by Luke Falk, who I think was like all Pac-12 legit. Mm-hmm. He's a good quarterback, but from what I saw this past season from Peyton Bender, I was just like,
he has no eyes, dude.
Three or four games into the season, I was just done.
This could be bold, but do you think he's worse than Dane Crist?
Ooh, oh, that's actually a very good, that's a conversation piece right there. I think there's a chance because Dane Crist, like, they were running, I believe when Charlie Weiss was there, it was like a pro-style offense, so mm-hmm. a lot of times it was like, you know, Tony Pearson, we'd hand them the ball off and no one would, like, it would just go nowhere because we couldn't throw the ball. But I think you've got a solid point there. I think that Bender is actually, if not worse than Crist, he's on the same level.
I think that Peyton Bender is the worst quarterback we've ever gotten.
The worst?
Dude, I watch him, and he doesn't – I'm sure he looks really good in shorts and shirt and 7-on-7 when there's nobody, like, really rushing him. But when the play goes live, he can't read a defense, and he doesn't have any sixth sense of pressure.
He acts like
he's playing Madden, and he has all fucking day to throw. But he sits in the pocket and he doesn't roll out. He just sits there and waits for a fucking someone to be wide the fuck open. And I'm going to say that he is the worst quarterback that in my lifetime I've ever seen in a K jersey.
This goes back to when we talk about you have quarterbacks that look good in an actual 11 versus 11 game in pads. And mm-hmm. then you've got guys that apparently KU has like some of the all-time great quarterbacks when it comes to 7-on-7 and shorts.
yeah.
Because every time we read reports, it's like this quarterback completed like 80% of his passes in the scrimmage or whatever, you know?
Yeah, there's this dude that transferred in. He's going to be a sophomore this year. And yeah, in the spring, he was like 83% in 7-on-7, but then he dropped to like 59% in 11-on-11.
Oh my goodness.
And right now,
how can we not find a quarterback? Like, that's the one thing. Like, as terrible as our offensive line may be, but if you get a quarterback that has a little bit of a dual threat, like, and he can throw the ball somewhat accurately, you could still find a way to put up some points, especially in the Big 12.
I know how we fix this.
Art Briles.
If you want a quarterback really bad, let's just take the Blake Haynes route this year, okay? Let's go. I want to watch a good offense, win some games. I think I'm just gonna watch. I'm gonna be a Bama fan this year. I'm gonna take the Blake Haynes route, and I'm gonna pick my favorite team this year is Alabama. I think they could win it all this year. I think they're pretty good.
Okay, why is Alabama good? Huh?
Well, they have a quarterback that came in at halftime and just fucking went ham.
Oh yeah, he didn't even play the entire season at all, I don't think. And he came in at halftime.
I'm pretty sure he was going to transfer if he's not guaranteed the spot this year. So,
who was the quarterback for Alabama that was the starter? I can see
Hurts.
His face.
Hurts.
Jalen Hurts. Yep. We should get on Twitter and we should message him and tell him to come to KU.
No. Yes. Dude, have you seen him pass?
Have you seen Peyton Bender?
Dude, I'm sorry, but like Jalen Hurts he's basically what Montel Cozart was. He can't, like, I watched him, like, he has to roll out, and it's like the same thing. Like, if someone's not literally wide open, he won't make the throw. And that's not, and people blame, you know, wide receivers not getting open, but that's not how football works. You have to make plays, you know, you have to trust a receiver to make a play. It's kind of like the whole Alex Smith effect.
Yeah.
Like, how many plays that he's left on the field because Tyreek Hill only had 2 yards of space, he won't make the pass that, you know, every other NFL quarterback would make. You know, Tom Brady, even if Gronk or someone only has an inch, he trusts the fuck out of them to make a play, and he throws it to him every time.
Right. You got to give your guy a chance is what you're saying.
And I think that's what Mahomes is going to bring, but that's a whole nother tangent because I've seen him. I mean, there was an article about him like going full KC. Mm-hmm. Like he's been going to like T-Bone games. He's been repping T-Bone clothes. He's been, you know, through the pitch at Royals games. he's like, and then he went to the NASCAR event a couple weeks ago. He's just like all fucking KC, and I am like so fucking excited.
I am very excited for Patrick Mahomes, and I'm going to be patient with him, but I know there's this group of Kansas City fans that are expecting him to be great. Actually, a couple days ago in our group chat message, Ryan Bark and I were actually having a conversation about this. I think who's our new GM? Veach?
Yeah.
He was saying he was like the greatest quarterback prospect he's ever seen or something like that.
Yeah, I don't. No, I think he said he's the greatest player.
Oh, greatest player he's ever seen. Like, yeah, that's just insane.
I don't know why you would do that.
Like, the guy's going to make mistakes, but you got to just, like, he's a gunslinger. Like, that's what Mahomes is. He is going to take chances, and we haven't had that. Like,
unless Mahomes is, maybe he's taking a different route. Maybe, you know, we talk about how we can't handle the pressure. Maybe he's the opposite, where the negative stuff doesn't help him. Maybe, you know, being negative kind of, you know, hurts him, where he already has, like, the whole big dick thing. Like, hey, you know, I'm a fucking badass, and you're going to say I'm a badass, or it's going to hurt me.
Right. That could be a valid point, too.
But I just think it's badass, because he didn't sign any endorsements last year, because he didn't want to take away from the team being the backup quarterback.
Right.
Like, I think, I mean, he literally pushed away millions of dollars so he didn't affect the team.
So, you know, you got the guy, you have the right guy for that setting, you know, like, he cares about the team. He's not out there for himself.
Yeah, dude, it's I read that and I'm like, holy shit! Like, I know this dude's probably gonna throw 15 or 16 picks this year.
Yeah, but, oh, he will.
But I mean, he could also throw 35 touchdowns, though.
Oh, for sure, he's gonna make mistakes. But we just, as a fan, we have to be patient, because there are going to be games where we're gonna actually get to see a pass that goes 60 yards down the field to like Tyreek Hill for a touchdown, like, you know, like throwing bombs and not like these little check down passes that, you know, Alex Smith got us accustomed to.
And you know who the, like, and Travis Kelce, he is as real as it fucking gets. Like, he's going to tell you exactly what he thinks. And the fact that he basically didn't care about Alex leaving, like, he basically was wanting Mahomes to play. Like, that kind of tells you, like, this, like, Mahomes is probably the real fucking deal, like, in practice and shit. Because, I mean, how many times Kelce, you know, over the middle, it's like we talked about, not wide open, then, you know, he's not going to get the ball over the shoulder, which he should be getting every other play.
Right.
And Stefan thinks that Sammy's going to be a top five fantasy wide receiver this year.
I think that was a great signing by us to go out there and get him, man.
A lot of fucking money, but Stefan keeps telling me, he's like, dude, people forget, how fucking good Sammy has been when he's played. He's been on every team he's played for has been like rush heavy teams where they have like shitty quarterbacks, and
the Bills. I mean, God.
Yeah, that, and Rex Ryan Bills that run 50 times a game, and they have no passing game, and he threw up 1,000 yards his rookie year.
As long as that guy stays healthy, he's going to produce. That's my final prediction on that guy.
It's just insane because, I mean, we've been through Tyler Palko, that dude from Iowa. What was his name? Oh, my fucking God. We've been through so much shit.
I'm thinking Brady Quinn. What's the guy from Alabama we got? Brody Croyle.
Brody Croyle.
Oh, boy.
We've been through.
Boy, I mean, we've had some rough.
We did get the Trent Green Priest Holmes era, but we still did win a fucking playoff game with them.
No, that, we were great because that offensive line we had, and you had Tony Gonzalez too. So, I mean,
yeah, four of those are Hall of Famers, right?
Right,
are going to be Hall of Famers. Yes. Brian Waters, Casey Wigman, Willie Rofe,
John
and
Tate,
Will Shields,
or John Tate maybe too.
He was right tackle, yeah.
Yeah, so
but he left us for the Bears, I believe.
He did. So four of the five, yeah, for sure Hall of Famers. And then,
but this core. Hill, Watkins, and Kelce. Like, this is like Matt. Every year I have to try to convince Stefan to buy Madden because I want to do. It's the same fucking game every fucking year.
It is.
And it hasn't been amazing since like the 2004 Madden with Michael Vick.
Right.
But this year he's like, dude, first day, I'm fucking buying Madden. And I'm, and Stefan, he always gives me shit because I like to play it real. I don't like to do the I will do a fantasy draft, but
no, I like to be real too. It's more fun that way.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of takes you back because we don't have NCAA football, so we can't really build a program up. And so, but Stefan's like, this is the first time that I'm never going to do a fantasy draft because the Chiefs Chiefs offense is just so fucking unreal that I have to play with them.
Right. Yeah. A lot of that makes sense because a lot of those years they had no receivers and they had like a really good running back and you know, like you had like a Trent Green or like a Brody Croyle as your, or not Brody Croyle, Matt Castle as your quarterback, and you're like, well, I gotta do a fantasy draft.
Yeah, I don't want this fucking shit.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, man. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and start the sign off, but I was gonna push it to you for the whole T-shirt winner.
Okay. So we had a thing on Twitter recently trying to reach 100 followers, but we came up short. So we were like, you know what? We've got a decent following right now. We're going to announce a winner. So our first T-shirt winner of the Fat Boys and the Indian goes to Tyler Helgett. Congratulations, Tyler. You earned yourself a T-shirt from us, and Tanner's going to give you the code word you're supposed to direct message us on Twitter after listening to this episode to receive this T-shirt. Tanner, would you go ahead and let him know what the code word is, please?
All right, Tyler, you fuckface. If you don't listen to this episode and you don't DM Blake or the one of us or the Fat Boys and the Indian Twitter handle or Facebook, the code is Alaskan Pipeline, which means you freeze a turd into a condom and you shove it up your ass. That's what an Alaskan pipeline is. And if you don't message that to Blake or the Fat Boys handle, then you will not be getting your shirt. And to all the fans that are actually listening to this right now, I am not the anchor, the host. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Blake is supposed to be the host, and me and Derek were supposed to just fucking try to figure this shit out today. And I don't think we did too bad, but we kind of just kind of rambled and talked about having sex and whatnot.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I think, you know, you did a pretty good job taking over that role for Blake. Obviously, that's kind of his gig, and, like, you know, we're just kind of here to throw in our two cents and whatnot. But I think in the future, especially closer towards football season, I think the fans can expect us to have maybe episodes put out every week about, you know, what's going on in the college football world, Big 12 football. I know as much as you and I have talked about all that stuff the past seasons, there's a lot of good material we could cover for that for sure, man.
Oh, dude, guess what?
What's that?
My buddy, he called me the other day. I thought he was fucking with me, but I try to go to, like, one Chiefs game every year, and I've only been to two Chiefs games, and both times were against the Tennessee fucking Titans, and both times they fucking lost. And because, like, last year I went to the playoff game, and I knew I shouldn't go, but of course we fucking blew it. But I'm going to go to a December 13th game against the Chargers. And his dad, like, knows – he, like, knows this guy who runs a Bud Light tent.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to go in for free, and you literally just get, like, all the Bud Light that you want for fucking – until the game starts.
That's insane.
It's fucking, like, that's where we went last year. We showed up at, like, 8 or 9 o'clock, and we just got – and I snuck in a fucking handle – not a handle. It was – because it was fucking freezing out, that Titans playoff game.
Yeah.
I snuck in a little bottle of Jack, and I started taking pulls every time we get, like, a first down. And then I guess there was a kid behind me, and I kept, like, screaming and yelling profanities. And the guy asked me if I would stop, and I guess I, like, would start – I guess I was so far gone, I started, like, chugging it, even if, like, Tennessee got a first down. They were like – I'd be like, first down! I just started chugging. And then I woke up to my wife taking my pants off. She's like, why the fuck did you piss your pants? And that was my last Chiefs game. Yeah, so hopefully I can get that again. So, but for all you that listen, thank you very much. Sorry it's been so long. But Tyler, you fuckface, don't forget Alaskan Pipeline. Derek, you got anything to add?
I just want to thank everyone that checks out this podcast. We all did this just to have fun. All three, four of us are huge fans of podcasts, and we thought we'd give this a shot ourselves. So anyone that takes the time out of their day to listen to this, whether they're going to work or coming home from work or on the weekends, we really do appreciate you guys a lot. And we hope that you guys check out our future episodes as well.
All right. And then, Heath, if you're listening, if you did not listen to this after bitching for all this time, then I don't even know what to fucking say to you.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah, I got two kids. I don't have time now. Well, guess what, Heath? I have three fucking kids.
Yeah, exactly. So, no excuses.
And they're trying to break down the fucking door right now, so we'll leave it at that. All right. Thank you, guys. Later, Derek.
Later.